Revelation chapter number 4, the fourth chapter of the book of the Revelation, and I'm just going to read that chapter to kind of use it to springboard ahead a little bit into some things that I believe God would have us to look at. Revelation chapter number 4, give you an opportunity, everyone an opportunity to find it. If you'll remember in Revelation 1:19, the Lord Jesus told John to write the things, he said, which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. And so in chapter 4, that hereafter is taken up. And that's what I want us to just kind of get an overview. I want you to picture yourself on a high mountain, looking over a span of time, and seeing high points in the time, because that's what I want to do is we kind of take Revelation moving forward from chapter 4 through chapter 22 tonight, and we're just going to kind of look at some high points of what when John said here, look if you would in verse number 4, chapter 4, verse number 1. After this, I looked and a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. And I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So here's our theme. We're going to be looking at some things that are yet to come. And then he said this, and I want you to notice the amount of times the word throne is used. Because when we get to heaven, I believe with all of my heart, we're going to see, we're going to realize God is in control. So I already believe that, preacher. You know, there's always just that little bit of doubt. There's always just that little bit of flesh mixed in with it. But when we get here, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We're going to have a new body, and we're going to see him even as he is. And we're going to be like him because we'll see him as he is. And we're going to operate then by sight and not by faith. And so John saw the throne. He just keeps bringing it up. Let's look at it. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one set on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And around about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had the face of a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and which is to come. And when these beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. What a chapter in the Word of God. Can I tell you, one day if you're saved, you live in that chapter. Amen. You're going to be there. What we just read, I'm going to be there. So how can that be? Because of him that sits on the throne. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Help us in these moments that we have together to focus on the things which must be hereafter. Help me, I pray. God, I need your help. And so I pray for your help to make it very clear and present it in a way that would be easily understood. And I pray, God, that you would help our minds to be open, our hearts to be receptive and responsive to the Word of God. May Jesus be exalted is my prayer. God, you know my heart. I want Jesus to be exalted as a result of what is said in your Word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. All right. I'm going to give you some words that I wrote down that I think would be very helpful. And if you want to write, I think it would do you some good to write these words down. I think it would help you maybe to remember some things that must be hereafter. Now, I'm certainly not going to name everything that's going to take place. Now, the next big, the major event that's going to take place on God's prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. And here's the word I want you to write down: departure. We're leaving here. Amen. We're departing this world. We're heading out. Departure. Chapter 4, verse 1, John said, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. And I believe with all of my heart this is a picture of the rapture of the church. I know the Bible teaches the rapture. I'm not going to turn to those other scripture, but we're going to study the rapture of the church when we get to it. There is a door that is open here to let the church in. If you'll take your Bible, hold your place here, turn back to Revelation 19, and you'll see where heaven is open to let us out. In Revelation 4, a door is open to let the church in. Now, the church is going to heaven, and there's going to be some things happen on the earth that the church won't be here for because we're going to be in heaven. And so I want you to really get this, and if you'll study and you'll just look at, listen, God lays it out real clear here. And so there's some things going to take place in chapter number 4 and 5 in heaven. In chapter 6, the book of the Revelation, it switches back to earth, as we'll see here in just a moment. But now in chapter number 19, it's going to be from earth looking up, and heaven's going to be open to let those that went in out. Notice what the scripture says in chapter 19. You'll not find the church. You'll not find the church after chapter 4 and 5 in the book of the Revelation. You'll not find the church. But in chapter number 19, look if you went in verse number 11. In verse number 11, it says, and I saw heaven open. Now here it is. Here's heaven opened again. Now chapter 4, heaven was open, and there was a call to come up hither, and John went up, I believe, as a representative of the body of Christ. And then it says, and here in chapter number 19, verse number 11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Jesus is riding on that horse. And you know what? We're going to be riding with him. Notice what the Scripture says. The Scripture says in verse number 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. All the way through the book of the Revelation, when you see this description of garments mentioned, it is people that have washed their robes white in the blood of the Lamb. We'll look at that closer when we get to it. So heaven opened in chapter number 4 to let us in. Heaven opened in chapter 19 to let us out. Heaven opened in chapter number 4 to take us from earth to heaven. Heaven opened in chapter 19 as we descend from heaven back down to earth. And there is a purpose for this, because Christ is getting ready to defeat the armies of Antichrist in a massive battle that we'll talk about here tonight. And then he's going to set up his kingdom upon this earth. It's called the millennial kingdom, or the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. We'll talk about that. Go back to chapter 4 if you would. First word, departure, the rapture of the church. Now, while we're in heaven, there's going to be two major things to happen that I want you to get. We said three, and then I want to go ahead and add that one. There's worship, of course. There's going to be worship, a lot of worship. If you have the time before you turn in tonight, read chapter 4 of Revelation again, read chapter 5, all kinds of worship. In chapter 4, we are worshiping God because he is the creator. In chapter 5, we are worshiping God because he is the Redeemer. Read it. It's very easy to see. Listen, it's just, it's there. You won't have to get your, I promise you, you won't have to get your lexicon. You can quote it out. You just read chapter 4 and you'll see where, we'll look at the way chapter 4 ends. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive, in verse 11, glory and honor and power. Why? Because you're the creator. Thou hast created. Right? Then you go to chapter number 5 and it says, he gives glory to God, and not because he's the creator, but look at verse number 9. They sung a new song in chapter 5 and it says, thou art worthy. He's worthy in chapter 4 because he's the creator. He's worthy in chapter 5. Why? Thou art worthy, he says, to take the book and to open the seals thereof. Why? For thou was slain and hast redeemed us to God. He's worthy in chapter 4 because he's the creator of all things. And he's worthy in chapter 5 because he's the redeemer of all the saved. Amen. Can I tell you the God that we serve is worthy? He's worthy. And so we have departure. Then we have the judgment seat of Christ. I believe that the judgment seat of Christ is taught throughout the New Testament. Chapter 4 of Revelation, verse number 5, it says, out of the throne proceedeth lightnings and thunderings and voices. And it talks about the lamps, the seven lamps, and the Spirit of God, which I believe is the fire that's going to try our works. That's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But the word I want you to write down, departure for rapture, for the judgment seat, discernment. Discernment. See, God not only is going to judge what we do, and I want you to listen to this. God not only is going to judge what we do, God is going to judge why we do, or did in this particular instance, what we did. That's called motive. What we do is an action. It's a work. And our works are going to be judged. But see, not every work is pure. And so we have to understand that sometimes, and boy, I tell you, it's hard to get the flesh out of the way. And I'm just being transparent with you, and I hope you'll be transparent with yourself. Sometimes it's hard to get the flesh out of the way. And so God is going to bring to light all the hidden things of darkness. Read, if you would, 1 Corinthians 4, 5. Write that verse down. God's going to bring hidden things to light at the judgment seat of Christ. And he's going to judge not only what we've done, but he's going to judge why we did what we've done. Amen. And so discernment, the judgment seat of Christ. Then I want you to write this down. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Here's the word, delight. He said, rejoice. Amen. If you've been called to the marriage supper, that's in Revelation chapter 19. We may look at it here tonight. We'll see. But these are three, worship, of course, and then there's the judgment seat of Christ, and then there's the marriage supper of the Lamb. These things are going to happen between the rapture of the church in chapter 4 and the revelation of Jesus Christ in chapter number 19. It's going to happen. Why? Because it must. Isn't that what it says in verse 1? Look at it one more time. Write the things which must be hereafter. It's going to happen. It is an absolute necessity. It's not a question of if it's going to happen, it's just when. And so maybe tonight, God could just start this domino effect of the things that must be hereafter by sending his son to get his church. And if he does, I want you to listen very carefully. We're going to shout as we go up through the air. But now if you're left behind, so I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to wait until I see the church leaving, then I'm going to get saved. Well, that's not what the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians. It says that God's going to send you strong delusion that you would believe a lie and that you're going to be eternally damned because you rejected the truth. Read it. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, verses 10 through 12. It's very sobering. And so while man will play games, I want to personally assure you, God does not play games. And so I pray that we would be very serious about these matters. So, in heaven, departure, rapture, discernment, judgment seat, delight, marriage supper of the Lamb. Then, I want you to write this word down, deception. Because after the rapture of the church, there's going to come this man of sin, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 teaches, the Antichrist. The wicked one is who Paul calls him. And if you'll turn to chapter number 6, we'll find where he comes on the scene in verse chapter number 6. Would you turn there? There's a seven-sealed book in heaven, and it's given And the Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 6, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, and one of the beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. I believe this is the Antichrist. Remember, we've already seen a rider on one white horse. We know who that rider was in Revelation number, chapter 19. That's the Son of God, because it's called the Word of God. Amen. Now, this rider doesn't have a name. I believe this is the Antichrist. He is an imitator. And I'm going to show you that as we get into detail. Listen, I'm just highlighting some things. Remember, I said I want you to look across the timeline, and we're going to see some things that jump out. There's going to be this deceiver that's going to come on the scene at the rapture of the church. And he's going to be the Bible says that he's going to do great wonders. And he's going to do miracles. And he's going to be given, notice what the scripture here says in verse number 2, he had a bow. Now that is an instrument of war, but without an arrow, it really doesn't do anything. And we saw last week where the people are going to be clamoring, they're going to be crying, peace and safety. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 teaches that. And the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period is going to be peace and safety. But something's going to happen that Daniel describes as the abomination of desolation. And the temple will be desecrated. And this man will blaspheme the name of God. He will blaspheme the name of Jesus and all that is holy and sacred. And then people will know, this is not Christ. This is not of God. This is not good. This is evil. But then they have already bought in because of, remember our word, deception. Don't forget that word. Because the world's being set up right now to receive a religious leader. Someone who will get along with everyone. Someone, listen, the world is full of preachers that won't preach against sin. You do know that, right? The word sin never leaves their lips. The world is full of preachers that will never mention the blood of Jesus. Do you know that there are, right now as we sit here with these good song books that we have, these hymnals, there are churches in the name of Jesus that do not have one single, and listen, they brag about it. It's not, I'm not putting them down, though I wouldn't be wrong to do so, because you take the blood of Jesus out, as far as I'm concerned, you don't have a song. They brag that they don't have music that has that bloody religion in it. I'm glad I'm part of a bloody religion. I sure am glad that I got in through the blood of the cross. I'm not ashamed of the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm cleansed by it. I've been set free by that blood. And so the scripture says here that this Antichrist is going to deceive. He's going to, for 3.5 years, he's going to deceive people. And there's going to be peace. And then he's going to desecrate on the altar of the temple, and he's going to blaspheme the name of God. Now notice, if you would, you can read when you get home sometime, I hope that you will, the rest of chapter 6, because these are the four horsemen, okay? And they talk about some devastating things that are going to happen during the tribulation period. I want you to go to chapter 7. In chapter number 7, the Bible teaches that the tribulation, during the tribulation period, I have people ask me this all the time, preacher, will people get saved during the tribulation period? Sure they will. Absolutely. Do you know what? God is so gracious. I want you to notice what happens here. Now, there's some people that get real confused in chapter 7, okay? It's deception. It has to be, because it's so simple when you read it. There should be no way that you can read the first few verses of chapter 7 and say, yep, there's only 144,000 people going to heaven. There should just be no way that can happen. When you read chapter 7, you'll find where John said that there's going to be 144. Look at verse number 4 of chapter 7. I heard the number of them which were sealed. See, God is going to seal 144 flaming evangelists. They're going to be Jews. So how do you know that? Because there's going to be 12,000 from the 12 tribes, and the tribes of Israel are Jewish people. And God is going to seal them, and they're going to preach the gospel of the everlasting kingdom. Amen. See, this is God's grace. You say, well, I'll get in. Well, you know, I believe that this is going to be for folks who've not heard a clear presentation of the gospel in their lifetime. Can't prove that. I believe that as I compare scripture to scripture, 2 Thessalonians. We'll look at this too. But I want you to notice what happens. So first of all, God seals these 144 men. Not women. God doesn't call women to preach. God doesn't call women to preach. Go to the Word of God and find me one woman preacher. As a matter of fact, listen, they prophesy. I'm not opposed to a woman prophesying. I just want to help you not to get confused. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over a man. It's okay to say, man, I'm not belittling or berating anyone. Where would I be without a woman? Non-existent. Amen. So please don't think that I'm up here berating. I love my wife. I love the fact that God gave men women. This is where every man ought to say amen and then look at his wife real funny, you know? Amen. Amen. Thank God for women. Could you imagine a world with all men? Yuck. Hey, that's not amen. That's oh me. So these are men. There's preachers. God does not call women to preach. You say, well, I know some good women preachers. Well, listen, I'm not saying that God does not use women in ministry. Where would Fellowship Baptist Church be without good women in ministry? Amen. Where would your family be without a good godly lady? Listen, without a good godly grandmother, your pastor, I'm just convinced I got prayed into the kingdom by a good godly grandmother. So don't leave here saying, well, our pastor doesn't like women. You don't know me very well. You need to get to know your pastor a little better. But I'm not going to not preach the truth because some people disagree with it. The truth of the matter is God calls men to preach, but he doesn't call women to preach. Now, God calls women to do some things that you can't do, sir. You say, what are they? Send me after the service. Some of them's a little too explicit. I don't want to say it in mixed company. Okay. So here we go. You get down, if you would, in chapter number 7. Notice what happens here. In chapter 7, one of the elders in verse number 13 said this. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? You see that? Something happens. People preaching, people getting saved. But notice what is said here. Verse number 13 said, who are these? Verse 14, I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Huh? Yeah. What happened? Remember that mark that's going to come? Remember that mark where you can't buy or sell? Notice what the scripture says here. Don't miss it now. Look at verse number 15. Therefore, are they before the throne of God? See, that's the only way you can get to heaven is through the blood of Jesus. That's why I don't understand why anybody would want to take a song out of their song book that talks about the blood of Jesus. You can't get to heaven without the blood, even in the tribulation period. That's right. Even before Jesus was born, you had to go by the blood. That's right. It says in verse number 15, therefore are they before the throne of God to serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Now watch it now. They shall hunger no more. What do you mean? Oh, they've been hungry. They didn't take that mark. They've been hungry. But now they're in heaven. They shall hunger no more. Look what he said. Neither thirst anymore. They've been deprived. Neither shall the sunlight on them nor any heat. They've been persecuted. They've been left abandoned to themselves, and many have been hauled in and martyred for the faith. But now they endure to the end. They did not receive the mark. They trusted Christ as their Savior, and they made it through, and they were faithful even unto death. Now, when I say endure to the end, don't you think, well, I'm just going to hold on until the end. I'm going to heaven. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about staying true to the end. Then verse number 17 says this, "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into the fountains of living water, fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." These are folks that came out of great tribulation. So we have deception from the Antichrist. We have tribulation. Here's the word I want to give you for tribulation. I hope you'll write it down, destruction. Brethren, in tribulation and great tribulation, there's going to be destruction. Jesus said in Matthew 24, 21, like this world has never known. It is real. You know why a lot of people can giggle and murmur and show no, absolutely zero interest? Because they do not know what must come hereafter. See, there's a lot of folks who studied history. They're reading current events. What we need to do is find out what must be hereafter. I need somebody to say amen with me, because we've got a lot of church folk, listen to me now, that do not know what lies ahead. And I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm just saying it because it needs to be said. Maybe there's someone that works with you. Maybe there's someone that lives beside you or me. Maybe there's someone that I know that you know that has absolutely no interest, no knowledge, no conviction, no concern about the things that which must be hereafter. I think it's high time that we as believers get keyed in on things that must be hereafter. Because, brethren, just as sure as we're here tonight, the things which must be hereafter shall come to pass. What I've read to you and so much more is coming. So we have, number one, the rapture, departure, the judgment seat, the sermon, marriage supper, delight. That's all in heaven. But on earth, deception, the rise of Antichrist, tribulation, and great tribulation, destruction. But now I want you to turn over to chapter 16 just for a moment. And we're going to find where this tribulation period is going to come to an end. God's going to allow evil to run its course. Are you in Revelation 16? Notice, if you would, in verse 13 of Revelation 16. John said, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon. The dragon is Satan. We'll get into that when we get into a little deeper, more concise study of the book. And he said, I saw these three unclean spirits. And he said, out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. There's your unholy trinity that we've mentioned. And he said in verse number 14, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles. I'm going to read that again because we're seeing it in our day, and it's going to continue on. There's miracles that devils are going to work, and there's going to be deception all over the place because people do not know what thus saith the Lord. Because people are not in tune with the Holy One of Israel. They do not know what saith the Scripture. It's very important. I won't be deceived, brother. Listen to me. Except God have mercy on us, even the very elect would be deceived. That's what the book says, brethren. I'm telling you what the Bible says. You say, well, the devil won't deceive me. He's deceived. Listen, the devil's probably never even paid you a visit. He just sends one of his little devils to take care of us and deceives us. It's not going to happen to me. It already has to some. Well, actually, to all of us in some way. And so the Scripture says in verse 14, and they are the spirits of devils working miracles. So, oh boy, a miracle here, a miracle there. Must be of God. Can I tell you, devils can work miracles? I want you to know now, not everything that's spiritual is of God. There is a spirit world that is not godly, that is not righteous, and we need to really get this embedded in us once and for all. It says also in verse number 14, which go forth unto the kings of the earth, to the whole world, to gather them to do battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathereth them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue. Here's our word and our battle. Armageddon. So there's going to be a battle of Armageddon, okay? And it's going to be in the valley of Jezreel, in the valley of Megiddo. And when we read in Revelation chapter 19, I'll not turn there, but Jesus is going to slay the armies of Antichrist there. I'm going to be there. If you're saved, you're going to be there. Did you know that if you're not saved, there is a possibility that you could be there too, but on the wrong side of the coin? It's very true. Somehow we have watched so much fantasy and so much fairy tale that we have forgotten that the Word of God is reality, and it's going to happen just the way God said, for it must be hereafter. And so there's the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon is going to be probably, it's going to be the most gruesome war in the history of mankind. You'll want to be on the right side in this battle. Okay? After the Battle of Armageddon, the Bible says, and I want you to turn, if you would, to chapter 19. My time is running out, so I want to. And so for the Battle of Armageddon, I want you to write this word down, defeat. So we have rapture, departure, judgment seat, discernment, marriage supper, delight, rise of Antichrist, deception, tribulation and great tribulation, destruction, Armageddon, defeat. Sometimes I watch these poor souls on social media making all their satanic symbols and remarks and talking about, I'm a this, I'm a son of Satan. And it's sad. It's sickening, but it's sad. They've been deceived. I just want to tell you, they're losers. I'm not saying that to be mean. It's so. The devil is a loser. Oh, preacher, you better watch out. He'll get you. Well, he'll have to go through Jesus to get me. I'm no match for the devil in myself. But I stand before you as a man of God, armed in the armor of God. And I'm protected by the blood of Jesus. And I want to tell you something. The devil is a liar and a loser. And we're going to see what happens to him right here in just a moment. The Bible says here in chapter number 19. I said 20, but I want you to look in chapter 19. We have the revelation of Jesus Christ. You say, now, what is revelation? Well, there's rapture. That's when he comes secretly as a thief in the night to get his church. The revelation is not when he comes for his church. That's the rapture. This is when he comes with his church, and every eye shall see him. And he is going to slay the armies of Antichrist. Notice, if you would, in chapter 19 and verse number 15, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. You read the rest of that sometime, how that the flesh of the captains and the mighty men will be fed to the fowl of the air. Now that's very sobering, but it's very so. And then the Bible teaches in chapter number 20, that Satan is going to be bound for 1,000 years. Notice, if you would, in chapter 20, verse 1, I saw an angel. This has always stuck out to me, and I have to hurry here. I'm going to be through in about 5 minutes, but I just want to show you this. I saw an angel come down from heaven having a key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, and the scripture says he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. I think I may have said this last week. Some people think, well, you know, boy, you know, the devil's almost, he's almost as powerful as God. He can't even handle one of God's angels. I just want you to know. Now, don't you go out and try to fight him, because you're not an angel. Now, you might think you are. But don't you let what your wife calls you, if she calls you an angel, don't you let that go to your head and go out and think you're going to take care of the devil. You try to bind him for 1,000 years, and you might be coming to me for counseling. Amen. So don't do that now. You just get a sweet name to call her back, but don't let that go to your head. 1,000 years, the devil's going to be bound. Why? Well, because Jesus is going to set up his kingdom. Look in chapter 20, the latter part of verse number 4 says that they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse number 5 says, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. And then chapter 6 says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Verse number 7, and when 1,000 years are expired. Now, why did I on purpose keep saying 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years? Because there are some people who say, well, there's not going to be a 1,000-year millennial kingdom. I don't think they've read Revelation chapter 20 very closely. Hey, man, I'm not being smart like I'm just saying, you know, the Bible, it is what it says it is. This is going to happen, brethren. This is going to happen. We are going to rule with Christ 1,000 years if we've been faithful. And we'll get to that when we study this. At the close of 1,000 years, to show you how deceived mankind is, notice if you would, in verse number 7, Satan was cast, was in dungeon, now he's going to be set free. Verse number 7 says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. And he shall go out and deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. These are the defiant, rebellious nations. We'll talk about them. And he's going to go and he's going to deceive them. He's going to gather them together to do battle, the number of whom is of the sand of the sea. If there's nothing else that you leave here with tonight, I want you to please listen to what I'm saying. Well, preacher, if we could just get a good Christian in office, it would change the world. Can I tell you, Jesus is going to rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth, and there's going to be a number as of the sand of the sea that's going to rise up in rebellion against him. You cannot legislate sin. You must be born again. That is the only thing that changes lives. Amen. If I learn nothing else from the millennial kingdom, and I learn much from it, I learn one thing. You cannot legislate sin. Now, you ought to vote for the lesser of the two evils. Say amen with me now. Don't leave here and say, well, the preacher said you shouldn't vote. Now, that's not what I said. I think it's a shame if you don't vote. Shame on you. Get out and vote. But please don't put your hope. My hope is not in Washington. Amen. I pray for my leaders, and I hope you do too. But my hope is Jesus Christ. And the scripture says here that that Satan shall get out, and he's going to gather a number of people to do battle in verse number 8. And the Bible says they're going to go up in verse number 9 to the breadth of the earth and compass the camp of the saints. And they're going to compass them about from the beloved city. I believe that the throne of David, Jesus will be ruling from it. I'll show you in the Bible where that's so. In the millennial kingdom, we'll go there to worship, as all nations will be there in the worship service. And they're going to come and they're going to try to fall on us. And the Bible says that fire from heaven is going to come down from God and devour them. That's what the Bible says. Yeah, well, okay. Preacher, I mean, that's kind of hard to believe. It is. Then you go outside tonight, if it's clear, and you look up at all those balls of fire that are just floating around up there. God put those there. Tomorrow when you get up, you look up. Don't look right into the sun now, but you just look up at that big ball of fire. God put that there. Thousands of years ago, it's been there ever since. That God is going to rain fire down on these people. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. See, the devil will tell you, he'll just get in your ear if you let him. Don't let him. All right, let me give you this and I'll be through. What's going to happen then, preacher? Well, the Bible says in verse number 10, the devil and that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever and ever. The devil's going to meet, here's your word, his doom. It's over. It's over. Amen. Amen. I believe there's going to be some shouting. Yes. And I tell you, I'll be glad when that day's over. That's right. It's over, brethren. The devil's going to meet his final doom. He'll damn no more souls. But just like a loser, he had to go out in a blaze of glory. He had to take a multitude of people down with him. You beware of people like that. They're of the devil. Got to take a bunch of people down with them. Right? And that what he done? Read it closely. Chapter 20, verse 11 begins what we talked about tonight. Bud gave the answer to this on the white throne judgment. And all the people that have not been saved are going to stand at the great white throne judgment. They are. And I'm telling you, it's going to be a very, very sobering time. Chapter 21 and 22 deal with destiny, a new heaven and a new earth, our final destiny. Well, that's going to be something. I'm glad for these things. See, this is why I sleep good at night right here. Amen. So, well, preacher, what do you think is going to happen over in China? Let me tell you what's going to happen in heaven. Well, you got Russia. You know, boy, they're strategically doing this and that. Let me tell you what Jesus has got going on up in heaven. See, that's why we need to know what must be hereafter. Too many people are too engaged. And listen, I'm not saying don't keep up with current events now. I'm not saying that. But if we're not careful, we'll know more about current events instead of prophetic events. We need to know what this book says must soon come to pass, which must be hereafter. How much do you know about that? I pray that, if nothing else, this has just whet your appetite just a little, and you'll go home and just start reading the book of the Revelation. Just read it through, and then read it through, then read it through again. And I promise you, if you'll pray for me, I'll try to be faithful to God and preach through this book, and I want to make it just as clear as I know how, to where when we get through with our study here, we can say, I know some things that must be hereafter now, and my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ a solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Let's stand to our feet. You've been very attentive, and I appreciate that. I wanted to get those in. Next week, with the help of the Lord, we're going to take one at a time. We're just going to go in detail. So we'll just do one at a time with the Lord's help. And so we're going to talk about in detail the rapture of the church. Father, thank you.